This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health in Difference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
I would like to welcome Gina Wilson for the final of our three plenary presentations today. Gina is a human rights activist and an intersex person. Gina is a board member of Organisation Intersex International and is an OII outreach worker, OII human rights representative and president of OII's regional arm, OII Australia. Gina is also a member of a number of LGBTI organisations fighting for LGBTI rights and intersex awareness. Gina is a public speaker for intersex and intersex education. Gina is deputy chair of the LGBTI Health Alliance's board as well. Please welcome Gina.
I've come to speak to you about the consumer voice for mental health and mental health awareness. Mental health, from a consumer perspective, first and foremost, it hinges around how much we know about LGBTI and mental health. And from the data that you've seen and the studies that you've seen, you'd have to admit that we know very little. And yet, when it comes to mental health, LGBTI people are overrepresented. We're one of the most marginalised groups in our society. The other issue with our mental health, and it's often viewed through the lens of PTSD, as if we've been through a trauma, and we've survived a trauma, and we have a mental health issue as a consequence of the trauma that we've survived. It's a bit different to that. We never leave the trauma. It's not like we've returned from a war. It's like somehow or other we have to survive with good mental health during a war. The stigma, the bigotry, is persistent. And as a consequence, our mental health issues tend to be persistent. So you'd wonder if mental health professionals cock their ear to the wind, listen to the message on the whispering wind, and what would LGBTI people have to say to them? What would the client's voice be to mental health professionals? And in my view, there's a number of issues that are really important, and I would hope that they could hear our voices. The first one is what I touched on, is data, the absolute paucity of data. There's three or four mental health reports around, thanks to Beyond Blue and the Mind Out Project, and that there might be some more. But there needs to be more consistent, really, really deep data. Not just the broad brush data on how many LGBTI people suffer from, for instance, depression and anxiety. Our issues are wider than depression and anxiety, and we don't know how much wider they are than depression and anxiety. And our issues are deeper because LGBTI is not, we are homogenous in the way we are subjected to an oppression, but our needs are not homogenous. And the data that needs to be collected needs to be deep to look into lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex, collectively and individually, because very often our needs are quite different. The data also can be collected broadly in areas where it's already there. People like the Census, the Bureau of Statistics, only have to ask a scant couple of other questions so that we know how big our community is, we know where our community is distributed, where the needs might be. With Medicare, we know what's being used. We know by the Medicare numbers what's being used, but we don't know who's using it in terms of LGBTI. And just a couple of other questions and we'd know that. We'd be able to collect that data, we'd be able to find out where the hotspots are. So data, collection of data is really important to us. The other important thing is long-term follow-ups, so that protocols and procedures for mental health are conducted on us sort of on the basis that we're the same as everybody else, so that they we get post-traumatic stress disorder, cognitive behavioural therapy, et cetera, on the basis that everybody else gets it. With the idea that the kind of trauma we've been subjected to, the kind of lives we've lived, is roughly the same as everybody else, and we respond the same way. We don't know that. Nobody does research to find out how we do actually respond to the various therapies that we've been subjected to, how we respond to the medications, given our various differences. There needs to be long-term follow-ups for us over life, how we manage in old age, that the mental health problem might start from the moment we come out or the moment our difference is known and last all our life is not necessarily true. That it might manifest itself in old age and last only for the end of our life. It might manifest itself more severely in midlife. We need to know all that stuff, and we need to have long-term follow-up data. And as far as I know, there is none. There needs to be client group engagement, and I'll give you a couple of examples that are really pertinent to me as an intersex person. The Diagnostic and Statistic Manual is being modified, and it's being modified in a way that now makes intersex people disordered for the first time. The stigmatising term, disorders of sexual development, is used to describe this. And that was done without client group input. It's done by a bunch of doctors sitting around a table and deciding amongst themselves what's good for us and how we're best described. It's my view that because we weren't involved, because they don't listen to us, they feel that their language is value-free. Their language is simply scientific and without judgment. And I say no, that the language actually comes from a place, comes from their point perspective. It is a judgment and it is stigmatising. Another organisation, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WARPATH, has come up with a new standards of care, standards of care number 7. And they lobbied the DSM very, very strongly that the stigmatising term gender identity disorder shouldn't be used, disorder being stigmatising language. And they have changed that to gender dysphoria. And it appears that DSM people will go along with that notion that GID is stigmatising. And yet in their own protocol for intersex people, they refer to us as having a disorder of sexual development. So all organisations need to be entirely inclusive of the groups they seek to diagnose or to specify. WARPATH's fault was, although they have a really good trans representation on their board and their membership, there's virtually no intersex representation and intersex people weren't consulted. The same goes for the DSM. So in all of those, with medicine must, absolutely must, include client groups when they're coming up with protocols, when they're coming up with ways of describing us in the literature. Client group participation is absolutely vital. And we should insist on it. The other issue is prioritising LGBTI mental health. That LGBTI mental health, there are a number of groups in society, a number of marginalised minorities in society, who have much, much higher likelihood of having a mental health problem during their life. One example are people who are subjected to sexual abuse. And that's a huge problem. And yet you find very, very small amounts of targeted funding for that group. We're no different. We are a group that's far more likely to suffer from mental health problems during our life, far more likely to use mental health resources. And yet there's No priority around that from government, no priority around that from mental health organisations, save to say the advances that are being made now. But when you think of the magnitude of the problem, you can't but wonder why the priority is, even with that, such a small thing compared to the broader community. When you think about issues like depression and anxiety and the wide range of our mental health issues, and how when we go to address that, we have 6 or 7 visits that are paid for by Medicare, and yet almost every expert will tell you that the kinds of things that we're subjected to will take a year, 2 years, probably 3 years of persistent counselling and persistent treatment to get us past the worst of it, and probably ongoing treatment across our life, given the thing that we're subjected to is not going to go away. Well, I wish that it would go away, but the bigotry, the stigma, the things that we're subjected to that bring this about are persistent. Our issues will be persistent, and yet the priority is not persistent. The priority is not high. And who needs to listen to all this? Well, clearly government needs to listen to it. Government needs to provide substantial funding for a substantial problem. Medical providers need to listen to this. The providers at a low level of doctors, but also professional bodies, professional organisations, the Australian Psychiatric Association, Australian Psychology, psychological professional bodies, they all need to listen to this. They all need to prioritise it. It needs to be a part of their training. It doesn't need to be something that they stumble across when a client walks in the front door. It needs to be a part of their training. It needs to be something that they're really aware of. We need to listen. We need to listen to our own mental health, our own mental health problems. We need to be on top of that stuff. Our community needs to listen. Our community needs to be aware of it, provide services. And most of all, we need to let the wider society know about this. We can't let them get away with marginalising one of the highest needs groups in Australia. Ta.
Thank you, Gina. Please keep your clapping to thank our participants, and we have a thank you gift for those who haven't already received one.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health Indifference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.